friend, father to two young children, ages 2 and 4, was not by nature, by temperament, by training, a doting parent. So when asked by his spouse to play with the girls so that she could get some badly needed household chores done, his whiny response was not entirely unexpected, even as it was most unwelcome. "But I don't want to play with the children." I think we often echo that attitude when it comes to admonitions that we be thankful, that we exhibit gratitude. Because the stark truth of the matter is that every day we have a myriad of reasons not to feel grateful and not to want to practice gratitude. It is as if we all have within not a little bit of the protagonist of Herman Melville's classic novel, the one who asks that we call him Ishmael, who tells us that whenever I find myself growing grim around the mouth, whenever it is a damp, drizzly November in my soul, whenever I find myself involuntarily pausing before coffin warehouses and bringing up the rear of every funeral I meet, and especially whenever my hypos get such an upper hand of me that it requires a strong moral principle to prevent me from deliberately stepping into the street and methodically knocking people's hats off, then I account it high time to get to sea as soon as I can. This is my substitute for pistol and ball. With a philosophical flourish, Cato throws himself upon his sword. I quietly take to the ship. So often it is that we experience that damp, drizzly November of the soul. Terrible, wretched, painful things happen to us and to others, occurring all the time. Another mass gun shooting, gridlock in our nation's capital, refugees stream from their homelands in search of a place, any place that is better and just livable. We age, illness strikes, loved ones leave us. Choosing gratitude is just not something that can come easy to us. And quite frankly, it can even in its own perverse way feel better to choose ingratitude. "But I don't want to play with the children." Last Sunday, Jackie Clayton, our associate pastor Christy Burns, and I attended a denominational meeting over in Fairhaven. And the guest speaker was Diana Butler Bass, who spoke to us about her latest book, Grateful: The Transformative Power of Giving Thanks. And she opens her book with a delightful confession of just how hard she found gratitude. She writes, "I remember listening to a guest on the Oprah Winfrey Show discussing the power of gratitude to change one's life. A sort of spiritual longing arose in my heart. I felt inspired and decided to keep a gratitude journal. That lasted less than a week. On another occasion, I embarked upon the noble project of making a moment of gratitude part of our family's bedtime ritual. We did it once. And then there is that painful Thanksgiving dinner exercise in which no one eats until everyone at the table says something they are thankful for. It's supposed to remind us about the real meaning of a holiday, but it feels more like a turkey hostage situation than a spiritual exercise in grace. I feel thankful when it ends." Any of that sound somewhat familiar? One of the insights that she comes to in her book is that gratitude is first and foremost an emotion, a complex set of feelings that involves appreciation, humility, wonder, and surprise. It's an emotion. And we all know that we cannot just force ourselves to feel in a certain way on demand. But here is the thing. Gratitude is a feeling, yes, but it is also an ethic. It is a disposition that can be chosen and cultivated. It is an outlook towards life that manifests itself in actions. Gratitude involves not only what we feel, but also what we do. So how do we move from feeling to a disposition of character? From an emotion to an ethic? From something that can happen to us to something that we can make happen? Diana Butler Bass and Paul the Apostle, they suggest that gratitude can be a choice, one which, if we can make it a habit, can become so ingrained as to just ground us in joy. So instead of waiting to feel grateful, we can, by our actions, be grateful. And in time, the emotion may follow. When, if even for a little while, Bass writes, we choose gratefulness, that choice builds on itself and begins to create a spiral of appreciation. The first choice, even if only a vague inclination, sets up the next choice and the next one beyond that. Gratefulness can become a habit, one which starts small. Maybe it's with starting a gratefulness journal. Maybe it's saying a prayer of thanks before meals or bedtime. Maybe it's deciding not to angrily wave a finger at the maniac who cuts you off at the rotary. And instead, thanking God that you escaped unscathed. Maybe it starts with choosing to be grateful you even have a spouse, instead of resenting that the one you have missed the laundry bin with their socks once again. The point is to start small, rinse, and repeat. Don't expect to become a grateful person overnight. Don't keep track of your failures to be grateful, for there will be failures. Focus instead on the little successes, and over time it will become easier to choose gratitude. So much so that eventually it just becomes part of who you are. So much so that it can even be hard to remember how it was that you ever said to yourself, "But I don't want to be grateful."